Previously on the Back to You podcast.
Can I borrow your phone?
Why?
Because my cousin lives by the Monongahela River, and I wanted to know that the Monongahela might flood. She's right on Monongahela Drive.
Hey, she's pretty good.
Shut up, Gus!
I don't care if you named your first boat She's My Daughter. We're not calling this one She's My Daughter, too.
I'm going to turn things over now to one of our field reporters. Gary, what are you working on today?
My resume.
This is episode 7 of the Back to You podcast, Something's Up There. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening. We have officially entered phase 2 of the Back to You podcast. This podcast has 18 episodes, so the first 6 would be in phase 1, the next 6 in phase 2, and the final 6 in phase 3. It's just like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, except we're not changing constantly or thinking which movies deserve to be in which phases. No. The first 6 episodes of Back to You, which we talked about in the first 6 episodes of this podcast, are in phase 1. The next 6 are in phase 2. And then the final 5 episodes of Back to You are covered along with the aftermath of the show, the last episode, with the final 6 episodes of the Back to You podcast. You're here for the start of phase 2. And it's a real roller coaster. Because this episode we're talking about today, Something's Up There, aired on Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. It's the last episode of Back to You that aired before the writer's strike. Back to You was off the air for the rest of November, all of December, all of January, and nearly all of February. That's an incredible amount of time. And through that, Hollywood and the industry was trying to figure out, what do we do during this writer's strike? Remember, this was the year they canceled the Golden Globe Awards. They canceled other events, other shows, talk shows. So many scripted series were forced off the air, including Back to You, because of this writer's strike. Thankfully, the show got to put out one more gem, one great episode, before all this went down. Before we get to all of that, as always, send in comments, send in questions to me at LCJ Reviews on Twitter, and the podcast has a Twitter account too, at Back to You Pod. I've gotten some great reaction from you out there so far on this podcast, including someone who messaged me that they are watching the episodes of Back to You through a DVD they've gotten out of their library. I think that's awesome. If you've got a library near you, which I hope you do, you go on their site or ask somebody at their reference desk, hey, you got Back to You Season 1 DVD? Hopefully they'll say yes, take it out for a little bit, and binge watch these episodes. What you'll find when you'll get the DVD set, Disc 1 has the first 7 episodes, Disc 2 has the next 7, and then Disc 3 has the 3 episodes that didn't make it on the air, plus some fun bonus features. But they kind of label them wrong, because Disc 1 says pilot and episodes 1 through 6. Technically, the pilot episode is episode 1 of a series. Now, some series don't air their pilot episodes, but in this case, the Back to You pilot was aired. Everybody knows it's episode 1. It should have been labeled that way. So make sure when you're looking at numbers and things, don't rely on the little messages on the discs of the Back to You Season 1 DVD. That's the only little fault I have with that DVD. At this point, the writer's strike on everybody's minds, including a lot of entertainment shows and a lot of entertainment news programs. Remember this show called The Daily 10? It was on E! Usually came on after E! News or around E! News every night. And the folks at The Daily 10 decided to do a story on Back to You. They went to the set where there was a taping for an episode, and they talked to the many stars of Back to You, including Fred Willard, Ty Burrell, Josh Gad, and Kelsey and Patricia. Here first is Kelsey on the difference between Chuck Darling and Frasier Crane.
It's, you know, I'm the same. It's the same organism. He's a little less tortured than Frasier was. And he really doesn't care as much as Frasier did about, you know, making a good impression. Some of my fans, I think, are a little bit thrown off. Or Frasier fans, let's say.
Fred Willard talked about this when he was on the podcast here a few episodes ago. A lot of people couldn't wrap their heads around the idea of Kelsey Grammer as somebody other than Frasier Crane. Getting those comparisons to promote this show was inevitable. Getting the Everybody Loves Raymond comparisons for Patricia Heaton, also inevitable. I guess you gotta ask those questions, but they must have gotten tired of it over and over again, going on talk shows, the upfront presentations for Fox that year, all of that, getting those, well, how does this different from Frasier? How is this different from Raymond? It's interesting stuff they have to say, but I'm sure they don't want to have to keep repeating that over and over and over again. And asked about the difference between working with Kelsey Grammer and Ray Romano, here's what Patricia Heaton said.
Kelsey's the only one that's richer than Ray. And, you know, Kelsey uses bigger words. Ray's character's more self-deprecating, and Chuck Darling is very, very full of himself and has no clue of what a bombastic ass he is.
Let's go now into episode 7 of Back to You, written by Steve Levitan, November 14, 2007. This is Something's Up There. Josh Gad, Ryan Church is the one who says Back to You is recorded in front of a live studio audience. You've got the News 9 team finishing out their newscast. Kelly talking about this cat being rescued. Admiral Cheswick.
Firefighters spent 2 hours trying to get Admiral Cheswick free from his kitty door. Looks like this is one lap cat who could use a few laps around the track. Oh, that is one big cat.
You can say that
again. Ginormous.
That's the kind of cat that could scare a dog.
Big cat. Big cat.
And that's the news. Good night, Pittsburgh.
Good night.
Clear.
Okay, that was some bad banter.
Terrible, the worst.
Bad banter. Bad banter.
All right. You're hearing this, right, all in?
They go out into the newsroom, and Marsh congratulates Gary on a good report that he did tonight. And he says, knock, knock, who's there? Local Emmy. I love that line because I would end up winning a local Emmy a few years later for my movie reviews. Something that the folks at Fox and many of the viewers didn't love, however, that Fred Willard said a couple moments later, is a line that made it on the air in the initial airing of Back to You, but you won't hear this line on the season one DVD. Now, a lot of people don't trust Wikipedia when it comes to information, but I honestly believe that Wikipedia is great when it comes to information on TV shows, particularly their ratings. But in this case, Wikipedia cited and sourced the New York Daily News and added some information on this controversy from this episode of Back to You, Something's Up There. So I'm going to read it directly. This episode involved Marsh, who is trying to convince the show's lone Polish-American character, Gary, to go bowling after work. So all the news stations have this annual bowling tournament, and Marsh really wants Gary to come bowling with him so they can win this year, because Marsh doesn't want to hear any BS and any smack talk for a whole nother year from Wayne Gesser, the sports anchor at one of the other stations, Channel 8 in the area. Channel 9 wants to defend its honor. But it's Gary's anniversary with Kitty, and Gary talks about how he hasn't been home on many anniversaries over the last several years because of what the job of being a news reporter entails, so he's not sure about going bowling. Ryan wants to go. Marsh even gets Chuck for this tournament tomorrow night. But Marsh really has to persuade Gary. He ends up saying this line, again, in the original airing of the episode. Come on! It's in your blood, like kielbasa and collaborating with the Nazis. Fox later apologized. On November 20th, 6 days after this episode aired, they vowed never to air the line of dialogue in repeats and or syndicated broadcasts. Now, this episode would not be repeated on Fox, nor would there be any syndication, but When it came to releasing this on DVD, that line was edited. Fox stated that, quote, "The line was delivered by a character known for being ignorant, clueless, and for saying outlandish things. Allowing the line to remain in the show, however, demonstrated poor judgment, and we apologize to anyone who was offended." This is the real major script controversy out of Back to You's 17-episode run. This is the really only noteworthy thing. But it is worth noting that sometimes you can cross the line, and that's what happened here. And you'll notice when you watch this episode on the DVD that there's a nice little edit right where that line clearly was going from one shot to the next. You can kind of tell that that's where it was. So anyway, through all of that, Marsh convinces Gary to go bowling, to be on the News 9 team, and we'll see what happens there shortly. Meantime, Kelly is preparing for Gracie's birthday party, which also happens to be the next evening. And it's going to be a laser tag themed party. Montana feels that that's not really cool for young girls. Gracie's turning 11. They should be doing something like a fashion show, essentially. Dressing up in outfits, putting on makeup, things like that. Gracie comes by, hears this, likes this idea much more than the laser tag. Then Chuck pops in, and he doesn't know that it's Gracie's birthday. Chuck and Kelly's history together, they hooked up on New Year's Eve. So you do the math, and November 14th is a little longer than 9 months, but you gotta play fast and loose sometimes with comedies. Kelly never told Chuck when her birthday was. He's surprised, but he wants to be a part of this. So he decides he's gonna get the cake and bring it over to Kelly's house for Gracie's party. Gracie likes vanilla cake. He says, "I'm gonna get it." Then we go to the theme song, and then we cut to Chuck, Ryan, Marsh, and Gary in the car after the bowling tournament. And they lost. They're all not really happy, except for Ryan. Ryan's trying to take it in stride, but Marsh is having a tough time with this. He's spewing out one nickname after another.
So that's it. You're not going to talk to me anymore?
What do you want me to say, gutter balls?
Oh, that's mature.
Two pins! All you needed was two pins in the last frame and we would have won.
Yeah, well, I couldn't find a ball with the right sized holes. I happen to have a huge middle finger. You want to see it?
Come on, you guys. Wasn't it fun just hanging out together? Who cares if we lost?
I care, 85. Because now I'm the one that has to hear Wade Gesser gloat all year. And I don't want to hear any more about what a great hook you have. You'd bowl better if you had an actual hook.
85. It's like on SpongeBob when SpongeBob says to Patrick, "I got something better than 24. 25. Gary wants to get home to be with Kitty for at least part of the evening for their anniversary. It's pouring rain. Chuck still got to drop off the cake at Kelly's house for Gracie's party. They did get a vanilla cake, but Marsh put it on the roof and left it there. So when Chuck hits the brake, boom, that cake goes flying down onto the windshield. It is done. So they gotta stop at the store and get another cake. Gary's not thrilled, of course. He's like, "I bowled a 206. I did my part." So they go to the store. We go to Kelly's house. Montana shows up with all the things for Gracie and her friends.
Oh my God, it's pouring out there. I had no idea it was gonna rain today.
You're the weather girl.
I know, right?
Love these little lines. This is why Steve Levitan is one of the great writers of comedy on television of the 21st century. Those little things like that. Tongue in cheek, funny, clever, not too over the top. All of a sudden, Kelly and Montana hear this noise, and Kelly immediately thinks it must be some animal, some squirrel that got up into the attic. Then Chuck and the other guys show up, and they hand Kelly a lemon cake. Kelly says, "Kids hate lemon cake." They hear this noise too, and they decide to help out, Gary begrudgingly, but they decide to help out Kelly and Montana to see what's up there, because Gracie and her friends are at another birthday party. They're not at the house yet. They want to get whatever animal it is out of that house before Gracie and her friends show up. So they got a decision to make. Who is going to go up in that attic? They have a little talk. Chuck says, because he's on air, and Marsha's on air, and Gary's on air, that Ryan has to be the one who goes up there and sees what animal it is, because if something were to happen, if that animal was to scratch or hurt any of their faces, Chuck, Marsha, Gary, that wouldn't be good because they're on camera. So even though Ryan doesn't really want to do it, he ends up getting the confidence and proving his worth to Montana to go up there and see what's going on. So he goes up the ladder, and all of a sudden he's got his flashlight, and out pops a raccoon. And Ryan is so scared that he immediately falls down, and the other guys are looking up right under him, and he falls right on top of them. And ironically, the three people who didn't want to go up there all get injured in some way. The flashlight fell on Chuck's nose, so it's bleeding a little bit. Gary's back is killing him because Ryan landed right on him. And Marsh got it pretty good in the head.
I landed on Marsh too, and he's not complaining. He looks fine.
You think so? Okay, call in the tailor. I'll take it.
Marsh, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just still brushing away the cobwebs. I got a lot of concussions when I played football. God, I miss the old gang from something tech.
So the girls are going to show up soon from the other party. They figure out that there's a possum out in the front yard too. Lots of wild animals around. But that raccoon escapes from the attic because the door is left open, and it goes downstairs, and Kelly and Montana get it under the couch. But they got to get it from under the couch outside. Gary has had enough. He is fed up with all of this. He gets on his phone. It honestly looks like a BlackBerry. And he's trying to call a cab company because he just wants to get the heck out of there. If Chuck's not going to drive him home, he's got to get out of there himself to try to go back and be with Kitty. And he is furious because Hey Jude just keeps playing when he's on hold waiting for the cab company. It is annoying him like crazy. Chuck, everybody else, Kelly, Montana, Ryan, Marsh, they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do. On the DVD extras of Back to You, the writers and Steve Levitan, they talk about how this episode was important because they wanted to get everybody out of the newsroom working on something together outside of the workplace. And this is the perfect opportunity to do that. They try all these different things, a hamper, they try to lure the raccoon out with one of the cupcakes that Kelly made in case Chuck got the wrong cake, which he did. Ryan actually eats one of those cupcakes and says it's extremely dry. They're trying the best they can to get that raccoon out. Gary has had enough. The cab company isn't helping him on the phone. He just runs, makes a run for it right out of the house and onto Route 19. So he leaves the scene. Eventually, the couch is on fire, and Kelly puts out that fire with an extinguisher. Chuck tries to use one of the pillows, but Kelly says don't use them, they're from France. And after a few more moments, the raccoon scurries out of the house. One of the main themes of Something's Up There is Chuck trying to prove to Kelly that he has value in helping her out. Kelly thinks she can do everything all by herself. She can anchor the news by herself, she can raise Gracie by herself, but no, Chuck wants to prove that he has worth in this situation. But after this whole fiasco, Kelly has had enough, and she rants that she should do everything by herself because she does everything better than anybody else.
My couch wouldn't be ruined, your nose wouldn't be dented, Marsh wouldn't need a casket, and Gary wouldn't be lurching down Route 19. This is why I don't want help from anybody. This is why I like to do everything myself, because I am better at everything than everybody else.
Mom? This is Jenna's dad. He's divorced too.
Actually, we're working things out.
The final scene, you see some of Gracie's friends going up the stairs of the house while Chuck, Kelly, Ryan, Montana, and Marsh are sitting around the living room eating some of those cupcakes and reflecting on what happened.
Boy, that was a big raccoon.
You can say that again.
Ginormous.
That's the kind of raccoon that could scare a dog.
Big raccoon. Big raccoon.
Okay, you're hearing this, right? Start Monday. We practice our banter.
Practice our banter.
Practice our banter.
Okay, I'm gonna kill the next person that says that.
I like how this episode bookends things with the bad banter. Because you see that on local newscasts all the time. You got a little time to fill. Do these anchors really like being around each other? Can they actually have conversations and make it genuine and with a smile on their face? And will the viewers be able to see that every night? Steve Levitan worked in local news. He gets it. That's why he includes it in this episode. This is episode 7 of Back to You, Something's Up There. Viewership? 7.31 million viewers, 13% increase over the previous week. Well deserved. One of my favorite episodes, I think, of Back to You. It's mainly not in the newsroom, and there's so much great stuff that goes on in the newsroom and on the set. Some iconic television comedy moments of Back to You, but this is a really fun episode, a lot of sharp lines, and a real showcase for the ensemble. That was the goal, and they succeeded with it. So, the episode airs. The ratings come out. They issue this apology. And then, the show is not back on the air for more than 3 months. It's a devastating blow to any show when you lose your momentum. But that's what happened to Back to You. It was forced to lose its momentum. Can it regain it? How will it regain it? And does Fox have any faith that this show can succeed after a 3.5 month hiatus? Find out with episode 8 of the Back to You podcast, episode 8 of the show, Cradle to Grave. That's the next one. If you've got the DVD, you're on Amazon, Voodoo, iTunes, however you're watching this show, get ready for Cradle to Grave, because that's the next episode of this Back to You podcast. We'll also talk about what happened in between Something's Up There and Cradle to Grave, how the show was able to market itself, including How I Met Fred Willard. We talked a little bit about it when Fred was on the podcast here. I'll get into some more details on that because it happened in January of 2008. It happened as all of this was going on. We'll get into all that. Episode 8 of the Back to You podcast, Cradle to Grave, is the next one. As always, follow the podcast on Twitter at Back to You Pod and follow me as well at LCJ Reviews. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to the Back to You podcast.